Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams, and now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here. Getaway Friday, July the 30th, 2021, 15 and a half minutes past the hour. Can you imagine one more day in the month of July, and then we're off to August? Summer will be over very soon. How about that? And what a summer it has been. Joined in studio this morning by the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Mary Ellen Withrow. And Mary Ellen, I think we've covered, for the most part, all the big stuff that's going on in the world. Oh, I know what we haven't covered. Oh, man, the Cleveland Indians have changed their name.
Yes, that's hard to accept, isn't
Cleveland
it?
Guardians.
Yes, I think everybody will still be saying Cleveland Indians.
Now, do you find, because there's a lot of conjecture about this, is Indian a bad word?
Not to me, it isn't. I have a lot of respect for the Indians. You know, the Lewis and Clark expedition and Sacagawea, and the coin, the Sacagawea coin, that's my connection to the Indians. No, they didn't play ball, but they worked on the country. She was the reason they made it. I mean, the Lewis and Clark made it to the Pacific.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yes, I mean, if it hadn't been for her, because her husband didn't amount to anything, and
he was just there.
Yeah, he was the person that got her into it, but she's the one that saved him because she had a connection. You know, she was an Indian, and she ran into her brother and some other people she knew on the way and that saved him. Mm. Yeah.
You know, it is interesting when we talk about people's spouses, and I think Nan Whaley will go through this. Certainly, Mrs. DeWine has been a part of a lot of what Governor mm-hmm. DeWine does. And we talked about your husband, Norm, who passed away earlier this year. What made him a good political spouse?
Well, he supported me in everything I did was what made him a good political spouse.
How'd you meet?
Huh?
How'd you meet Norm?
I met him at the Y.
Is that right?
Yeah. And it was called an older rural youth group. And we met there, and it was a fun group, and they would dance. They would have a dance, and that's how I met him, yeah.
And married 73 years. 72.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. That's a long time.
That is a long time.
Yeah.
Did you ever think, boy, 72 years.
No, I never thought I'd live this long, let alone be married that long, yeah.
Do you have any secret health regimen or diet that gets you to your age?
I don't know what. I think my mother gave me cod liver oil pills when I was a kid, and I think that made my heart strong. And she was very loyal to giving me those pills, and I give them credit.
You know, we've never talked about this. I don't think you've really ever had a major illness in recent years.
No.
But you had a pretty strong bout of pneumonia.
Oh, yeah, about died.
Yeah. What happened there?
I don't know. It was not fun.
No.
I was in intensive care for 10 days in Holy Cross in Bethesda. And I was down below 100 pounds, and I couldn't get my strength back, you know. But let's not talk about that.
No, but this it was after the election.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was out of office at the time.
Yeah. It you know, that there's nothing like an incident like that. Did it change your perspective in any way?
Well, I couldn't get my breath, which, you know, you can't get your breath. It makes you really think.
Yeah, you think, well, what's next around the corner here?
Right.
You know, it's when we look at day to day, what's your days like these days?
Oh, my days are great. My life is full, and I have a really good life. I'm doing things that are really enjoyable. I tell you, I went somewhere yesterday that was so much fun. There's a tea place, new, I guess, here in Marion, at 288 East Church. I don't know that, I forget the name of it, but there were a bunch of women there that I had the best time. She served the most interesting food, and she's from Ireland, the woman that runs it. And then they have a consignment shop in the back, and I had not been aware of that. And I'm enjoying everything tremendously. Life is good. Yeah.
How are your tomato plants
coming? Oh, I tell you, there are lots of tomatoes coming on, and I keep watching for them to turn red.
Me too. I'm in that stage as well. I've got the green tomatoes on there, and the plant is starting to lean. So I'm going to have to get a stake.
Yeah.
And that's probably going to be a project this week, because I noticed yesterday when I watered it, it's really starting to go south.
Okay, Menendez have the stakes.
Oh, do they?
Yes, they're good ones. I couldn't find them anywhere else.
You know, I had never been much of a gardener at all, but it's kind of been fun watching this tomato plant.
Oh, absolutely. The minute they wilt, I put more water on them, you know. I can see it outside my window when they start to wilt.
It happens quick.
Yeah.
It rolls right up there.
Yeah.
But, do we have a ticket winner here?
Yes, and if I didn't know she was going to, I have a stack of Mary Ellen Withrow 1s through 50s. I go to
you order. Do?
Hey, there you go.
Hey, it's getting so bad in the neighborhood. The kids were out playing the other day. They were playing Cowboys and Guardians.
Is that what they were doing? Wait, you're going to be a Guardians fan there. You're going to be in the front row, aren't you?
Yeah.
For the Guardians.
I went to see the Clippers game last Saturday. Now I know why the major league team is so bad, because the pitching and hitting for the Clippers is so atrocious.
Well, they're out of practice.
Yes.
Yeah, they're out of practice.
Good to see you.
Yeah.
Good to see you.
You always look good, though. I'm like, he's got the face for radio.
That's right. I'm here for radio.
I can't hear that enough.
No, that's right.
She's such a wonderful person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank hey, thank you. Enjoy. It's always fun to have people stop by.
Well, yes, they come in to get rewards.
They come in to get rewards. They come in for those tickets. That's right. You know, we have a great listener base here in Marion. They are the friendliest. This morning we had a gentleman come in and drop off Marion history, which I love, and it's great that
you know been. I listen to you in the car usually, and I love your contests, and it's so much fun to listen to the people call in. You were talking about a deodorant the other day, Lume. I never heard of it.
Did you look it up, Mary Ellen?
No.
Oh, dear Lord.
No. Yeah.
You got to watch yourself with that.
Is that right?
Well, here's what happened. We were doing jingles.
Yeah.
I had never heard of it either.
Yeah.
It's a female deodorant.
Oh, it's for only females?
Only for females.
Why would that be?
Well, you know, I didn't know until we got to the deodorant. Well, we finally got the slogan, but then people were sending me commercials for this Lume deodorant, and they were interesting,
yeah,
to say the least.
I know. I heard several of the people call in, and it was a long time before you got the right one.
That one really held out there.
Yeah.
I'm still not sure if it's Lume or Lume.
Yeah. Well, how do you spell it?
L-U-M-E.
Oh, okay.
So
I'd say Lume.
Lume. Lume. Well, you know, I did, and people don't like this, but caramel is not a word.
Caramel.
Caramel.
Yeah, but I never say caramel.
Wonder how that happened.
I don't know, because they started saying caramel, and we liked it better, so we say caramel.
We stick with caramel.
Yeah.
People don't even know what caramel is.
No, it's too much.
No, it's right. We don't need that.
It's three syllables.
That's a little over what we've got.
Yeah.
Do you say aunt or aunt?
Aunt.
Aunt.
Uh-huh.
That's a one, too.
It is.
I was with a kid last night who, I did an interview while we were out at Steak and Shake with two kids who are going back to school this year, kind of uh-huh. get their thoughts on back to school, and he said, aunt.
Oh,
and
really?
I thought, well, it lives on.
It does.
Some people say aunt.
Yeah, but, I really haven't heard anybody say aunt lately.
It's kind of an old English
yeah.
type of a
yeah.
word.
Yeah, I do love to hear other accents. I think, it's always fun to listen to an accent.
You know, the English have a very distinct
yeah.
accent. The
yeah.
French
yeah.
have a very distinct accent.
Yeah.
And it just sounds smart.
Yes. When I hear an English accent, I just love to listen to it. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a favorite picture? We talked about all the pictures over the years. Is there one that you like the best?
Yeah, it's probably the one when I was state treasurer. Yeah.
Were there a lot of... Do you have a lot of pictures from the day you were sworn in as national treasurer?
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, I've got lots of pictures. They're all, I think those people were all standing on the same side of the room.
You know, it's all
funny.
One shot.
Yeah,
all one
it's
shot.
All, it, well, you know, there was Marshall Bennett, who was president of the State Treasurer Association. And there was the guy that was in Congress from Cleveland, what was his name? And Lewis? Let's see. Well, anyway. Then, of course, Norman. And then Lloyd Benson. And then Al Gore. And, and then my family was standing over to the side. My whole family, they were all, nobody was missing except my brother, who didn't make it there, but he was carrying mail and listening to it on the radio.
That was a big day.
Yeah, it was a big day. And, and that evening, I mean, all my friends were in Washington, but I was supposed to go to this post office convention meeting, and it was in Chevy Chase somewhere, and I had a little trouble finding it, but I got there, and then I had more trouble coming home because I didn't know the metro system well enough. We ended up in Timbuktu, and yeah,
what a day it was.
Yeah, it was quite a day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a call here. Go ahead, caller.
From Cleveland, Louis Stokes.
Louis Stokes?
Oh, that's it. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All thank
right.
you.
Louis
yeah,
Stokes.
Louis Stokes. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, I have these people, I never forget their name, and then when I start to talk about them, I can't think of their name.
You know, Mary, it's interesting. We were talking earlier on about clothing and all that, and we have somebody asking, did you ever have a rhyme or reason when it came to jewelry that you wore?
Oh yeah, I love jewelry.
Did you think about it before you'd go out and make a public appearance?
Well, I would decide on the outfit, and then that would determine the jewelry. Yeah.
You know, antiques. People don't keep a whole lot of antiques anymore. Are there things that have been passed down in your family?
Yeah, I have my mother's some of my mother's jewelry that I love. Yeah, and she had a watch that I still have, too, that was around my neck. You know, they used to wear it around their waist, you know. And my great aunts, they had a watch that they wore around their waist. They were all thin, and there was three great aunts, and they lived together in Bucyrus, and we'd go see them, and they were interesting.
Where were you born at?
I was born in Marion County.
Marion County?
Yeah, on Moral Kirkpatrick Road, where I grew up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you remember the address?
Well, it was Route 4. That was the address. Route 4, Marion, Ohio. Let's see.
Is the house still there?
Yeah. Yeah. It was... my grandfather built the house, and then he moved to Wyandotte County, and my dad lived there his whole life. My dad was born where the fish and game is. They owned the quarry over there. And, the home then was sold. It's owned by, I don't know who owns it now, but it was redone. It had two stairways in it, and the people that owned it about 10 years ago just redid the whole thing. It's in good shape. Yeah.
So it's out on Route 4.
Yeah, Route 4. Well, it's off of Route 4 on Moral Kirkpatrick Road. It's on the left side of the road. It used to be the first house on the left side of the road. I think there might be another house before that now, but I'm not sure.
Is there anything distinctive about it that would set it apart?
There was, but it's not there anymore. We had a stoop that had a V. Then we had a fence on the top of the one part of this iron fence up there. It was on the roof. It was a very attractive place, yeah.
Do you know what color the house is now?
I don't. I think it used to be always white. My dad was always having it painted by a guy named Runt. I'd look out my bedroom window, and there'd be Runt.
Runt was out there painting the house. Keep it kept up.
Right.
So you were born at home.
Yes. Uh-huh.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, I think recently you told me that you have the bed that you were... Is it your mother's bed? Was
yeah,
that it?
Yeah, my mother had this bed. Well, she got it at the antique place there on the edge of Delaware. I forget the name of it. And it was a Jenny Lind bed, and she refinished it. She worked and worked on it. She worked on it out in the barn. And so I'm sleeping in it now. And, it's got a lot of history.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because people were born at home for a lot of years.
Yeah.
And then we all moved. It's in hospitals now, but people used to remember the houses that they were born in.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Now, recently you had made some of the gumdrop bars and brought them in, and they were very, very good. What was it like? Because you say you haven't done much cooking in recent years.
No, I haven't. I've got out of the habit of cooking, and you got me started again, Scott.
Well, this is a good thing.
It is a good thing. And I think that, you know, I'm probably going to be doing a few things now and then now. So, yeah.
Do you like cooking?
I did, but it's tiring for me. I get tired cooking. If I try to do a meal for somebody, I get tired, yeah.
Well, cooking's a big project.
Yeah.
You get the cleanup and everything else involved
with
that.
Yeah, and then the cat is so involved in all my cooking.
Right, what's going on?
He has to see everything that I'm doing.
Exactly right. You talked last time you were in about possibly getting back into painting.
Yes, well, I think that's gone by the wayside. I've found what I was going to paint, if I had to, was this cat that I used to paint in the very beginning. I started out painting this cat, and my granddaughter wanted one of them, and I said, you know, maybe I could do that. But then I found one that somebody had, and they're going to give it to her.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
And we've talked about the piano. Have you been near a piano lately?
I was at my daughter's the other day, but no, I didn't play anything. I did look at the music because I was looking to see if there was anything I could give you to help you.
Because this is my new fascination.
I know. I if I was, you know, better at getting to a piano, I'd try to do it, but I think you ought to get somebody else to help you.
Well, I've had this piano now for 15, 20 years.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
And that long.
Yeah, and yeah. I've never taken the time to learn how to play it.
Yeah.
And people come in who know how to play it, and they play it. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything. So I don't even have to be all that proficient. I mean, you like to be proficient, but I would just like to be able to do something.
Sure. Yeah. I don't blame you. You know, there's things on the internet, aren't there, for piano?
I might have to.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's ways to learn that doesn't involve another individual that you have to, you could do it, you know, without bothering somebody about it, yeah.
Now, did you, how long did it take you to pick it up?
Well, I studied from the time I was 12 till I graduated high school. And I even played on the palace stage.
Really?
Yeah, I played in the palace. Yeah.
Now, do you think, because Christmas songs are mostly piano songs, if somebody put piano music in front of you for a Christmas, do you think you could play it today?
I don't know. I don't know. You know, I haven't played for so long that it's something that really you don't hang on to.
Go ahead, caller.
Yeah. Marielle, you are so witty that you can handle Scott Spears with a little finger. You know it? I can do that. I haven't been around Scott, and so I'm exaggerating a little bit, but I'm emphasizing on your conduct with him. You answer the questions, and your voice is so strong and positive, and you don't take very long to make a witty answer, and it's a correct answer, and it makes us smile. Anybody listen to this program this morning, they have to chuckle that I had to call in and tell you you do a wonderful job, and it's really a pleasure knowing you. And
well,
my
thank
wife
you.
Thinks the same way, and she said hello to you. So, Scott, you keep your eyes and your on your toes. Can you stay on your toes really long, Scott?
Well, some days are better than others.
Because, boy, you got to be on your toes with Mary Ellen Withrow.
You do. You do. Absolutely.
She does such a terrific job throughout the treasure of the United States of America. Thank you, Mary Ellen. You take care, dear.
Well, thank you so much. You're you're just full of praise.
We thank you for calling in. And again, if anybody wants to call in, 740-383-9944. Well, I'll tell you, it's interesting, and I've said this before, and it's worth saying after that comment, Mary Ellen never hid from questions, even when you were in office. And that was always a breath of fresh air.
Okay.
I think that people, even on the local level, try to keep reporters at arm's length.
Oh, I love to talk to people that give me good questions. I've had some reporters that ask me things that I really wasn't very thrilled about talking about, but I just really enjoy talking to you.
It's always been a pleasure.
Yeah.
Go ahead, caller.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, this is for Mary Ellen.
Go ahead, she's listening.
Okay, Mary Ellen, the last time you was on, when you brought Scott them bars, And before that, he was talking about your bratwurst dip. I didn't get a chance to get a hold of you then. I make it myself. But I was wondering what your recipe was.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll tell you, Bob, get a pen and paper, and I'll give you about 10 minutes, and Mary Ellen, do you remember your...
Yeah.
Yeah, get about 10 minutes, and we'll give that recipe, Bob, okay?
All right, thank you.
Thanks, Bob. See, Mary Ellen, I'm telling you.
Okay.
Cooking's a thing.
Yes. I'll wait 10 minutes, okay?
And we'll give that, and we'll give that. We got to get everybody ready at home. We're going to have to send transcripts of our programs out with the recipes. Keep them here in the office.
You know, my daughter, Norma, took a whole bunch of my recipes back to California with her, and I'm going to have to call her up and tell her to get them back to me.
Well, it's fun. I'm friends with Norma on Facebook.
Oh, are you?
And when you made those bars,
yeah.
I put a picture of them up on Facebook, and she commented, she said, well, I make those bars too. And I thought, well,
she's got a whole bunch of my recipes I got to get back.
Well, it's a whole new thing, Marielle.
Yeah,
in the cooking.
Okay.
But the truth of the matter is, as I was saying, was when Mary Ellen was in office and I was working, and it is rare, and I'll tell you it's rare. I can't think of any other politician that was like this, even if it was a bad story. If you called Mary Ellen, the truth is, back then we didn't have cell phones. You'd call the office, and if Mary Ellen was there, you always got patched into her if you told her people who you were. And so there was no preparation. You didn't know what I was calling to ask.
Mm-hmm.
And if she wasn't there, and this is the absolute truth, within an hour, I can't think of many times it was over an hour, Mary Ellen would call back.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were just always very good and gracious. And I remember one time, the only time you didn't give me an answer, and I thought, boy, if more politicians handled it this way, you were going through something, I think it was counterfeiting.
Oh, yeah.
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 And you said, they've asked me not to speak about it. And I thought, that's fair.
Yeah.
That's an answer.
Yeah, the Secret Service didn't want me to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I want people to realize, and maybe some politicians out there listening, or politicians who are going in, expect to be politicians, that's, if you don't want to get in a quarrel with the media, that's a good way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just answer the questions.
Yes. Yeah, I gave a lot of interviews. You know, it was I think the hardest interviews were about savings bonds for me, and I remember it was usually a more difficult interview, but I love to do interviews. I really do.
I remember when you were on with Connie Chung.
Oh, yes.
Now, that to me, Connie Chung's a good interviewer.
Yes.
But it seemed to me, did you like that interview?
You know, I can't remember it very well.
It was just kind of, I think, a profile on you coming to that position.
Yeah.
But it was a big deal in those days. You were on national television. It was great.
I was also on with, who's the guy that's on MSNBC all the time? His father. Oh, gosh.
Is he on at night?
No, they're on in the morning from 6 to
9. Scarborough?
Well, it's the guy on with Scarborough. He's on every day with Scarborough. Well, his father was a big-time interviewer, and he did me on national television, too. And I did not like that interview very well. But I can't remember the one with Connie Chung that well, so it must have been okay.
And we don't have to say the name, but is there an interview that, other than that one, that sticks out in your mind as a...
I tell you, there was some interviews where they didn't know what they were asking at all. It's horrible to do that kind of an interview. And I've had some of those that they just didn't know anything about what they were asking. and you just want to, you know, give up on those.
Well, the surefire to me is when people are looking at a paper.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Oh, yes, oh, absolutely. Yeah.
When they've written their questions,
yeah,
there's nothing.
And
but them
they
there.
Don't know what they're asking. I mean, you know, it would be so far off that you thought, oh, my gosh, what am I doing this for? Yeah, right.
You know, and I think about Ohio a lot because we've had Thomas Edison, the Wright brothers, six or seven presidents, depending on
yeah.
however you want to label
yeah,
this.
Right.
So, and entertainers galore, Jack Parr, Phyllis Diller, Bob Hope, all came from Ohio. And there's something about Ohio. Indiana and Pennsylvania don't have that.
No, they don't.
I don't know what it is.
That's right. Indiana doesn't have much of anything, it doesn't seem like.
No, I'm not sure what's good. Dan Quayle.
Yeah.
And Mike Pence,
Mike
I think.
Mike Pence, yeah. Mm-hmm. There was somebody that was in Congress. He isn't there now, but his son is involved that was good in Indiana. I can't really think of his name now, but my daughter graduated from Indiana University, IU, and I went over, of course, several times driving her to school and so forth, but that's my only connection with Indiana.
It's always been interesting to me that in presidential elections, they considered Ohio a swing state, Michigan a swing state, Pennsylvania a swing state, but not Indiana.
No, not. And it's very set in its ways. Yes, very, very much so.
And it's right in the middle. You know, you have very Democrat Chicago, swing Michigan and Ohio.
Oh, yeah.
And then here's Indiana.
Yeah.
A Republican
right,
state.
Right, right.
I don't know what makes Indiana
yeah.
Republican.
I don't either, but there's got to be some history there that we're not aware of that has caused that.
Well, it's the same thing. I mean, I don't know what crossing the southern border, going into West Virginia or Kentucky, becomes Republican. There's something.
West Virginia used to be Democratic.
What do you think flipped that?
It was not that long ago, I don't think.
I think during the Reagan era.
Yeah, it might have been. Yeah, it might have been.
But it hasn't seemed to flip back since.
No. 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 Well, Manchin, of course, is the person from West Virginia that I am aware of. I knew his uncle. That was James Manchin. He was the state treasurer when I was treasurer of Ohio. He was an interesting individual. He had been auditor also of West Virginia. He would have a ceremony when somebody came to visit him. He had this curtain, and he would play some famous music or something to, and then they'd pull the curtain and there he'd be. He was quite an individual.
Did you ever have any run-ins with Mitt Romney's father up in Michigan?
No, not at all.
Mm-hmm. He was up there for...
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he run for president at one
mm-hmm.
point?
Yes, he did.
I think
yeah.
he did.
And so did Mitt.
So did he. He absolutely did. Boy, I'll tell you, he's become an interesting character.
Well, you never know what he's going to do, do you?
Now, that's interesting.
I mean, I thought I had him figured out, but I don't.
Well, you know, that's the thing. I mean, and honestly, if people lived in George W. Bush's time, there was so much anger toward him, and now it really has kind of dissipated.
Well, he looks good,
yeah,
you know.
I see him with the Obamas.
Yeah.
I see
mm-hmm.
him with Bill Clinton and Hillary.
Yeah, right.
And it seems to be all forgotten.
Well, it seems that way, yeah. I can still remember he couldn't give a good speech.
The Bushes had trouble giving speeches.
Yeah, they did. They had trouble with their words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, recently I heard one of the fireside chats that Roosevelt gave.
Yeah. And it's terrific, isn't
it?
Well,
it's a shame that he didn't live in the television age.
Yeah.
Because I think people have forgotten what a great speaker he was.
We'd gather around the radio and listen to him. the whole family.
He is something amazing.
Yes, and you know, and he was not that. He was not that noticeable before he became president, is what gets me. When you read his life, that book about him, and then when he became president, he blossomed into these ideas that he had, and then there was Eleanor, you know, back to Eleanor.
Well, and people also don't realize he ran for vice president in 1920.
With Cox and against Harding. And he was just kind of a nobody at that point.
You know, it's funny in that history that Franklin really did look up to Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
But in the history, Franklin is the bigger figure than Teddy Roosevelt.
Yeah.
Franklin always comes in the top five.
Yes.
Teddy Roosevelt, maybe he's in the top 10, but he's not in the top five.
Well, he started the Navy, really. I mean, Teddy Roosevelt did a lot.
I think Teddy Roosevelt's big mistake was, toward the end of his life, he caused a lot of problem.
Well, he ran in an ungodly race there at the end.
Well, went after Taft, who he had picked to be his successor.
Yeah, right.
Then he basically cost Taft the presidency, which gives us Woodrow Wilson. And now people look at history and go, well, maybe, because Wilson was just a college professor.
Yeah.
And people say, well, maybe we would have been better off to have Taft, because Teddy Roosevelt died. But Taft went on to be a Supreme Court justice.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, and he was really at odds with the Republican Party after that run. People also don't realize
that. Oh, he really was. He ran under a different party.
Bull Moose.
Yeah, Bull Moose Party. Yeah.
People
Don't you like that name, Bull Moose?
It was a good name.
Yeah.
didn't serve him well. but he, you know.
What happened to it? It died then, didn't it?
Yeah, I think they tried one more time.
Yeah.
But you know, I recently learned by watching a documentary that on the night he died, Teddy Roosevelt, because he didn't expect to die. He died fairly young. He died at home. He was getting ready to run in 1920, and he had mended his fences with the Republican Party, and he was going to run. Now, you think if that had happened, we wouldn't have had Harding.
No.
Because Harding wouldn't have got the nomination over Teddy Roosevelt. And I'm sure Franklin would not have run as the Democratic vice president against his hero.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's history. There's moments in history.
Yeah, there are.
If he hadn't died, it would have been completely different.
Right.
But I don't know what Teddy Roosevelt would have done at that point. He, I don't know. It seemed like later in his life he got a little, I don't know, different.
Yes.
Different.
Mm-hmm.
He was good when he was young. But
he had a lot of illness when he was young, though.
Well, he about died on trip safari. We better give this recipe or Bob's going to be mad at me.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Okay, it's you cut up a 1 cup of gumdrops, and they shouldn't not be the spicy gumdrops. They should be regular gumdrops. And I had a little trouble finding gumdrops the other day at the grocery store. And it's 2 cups of sugar and 2 cups of flour, 4 eggs, and salt, and and nuts, pecans. I think it was 1/2 cup of pecans. Might have been a little bit more than that. I'm doing this off the top of my head here. And then it has a frosting that's 2 tablespoons of orange juice and 2 tablespoons of water, and then confectioner's sugar. Or no, 2 tablespoons of butter, 2 tablespoons of orange juice, and confectioner's sugar to make a nice frosting. And that was it, yeah.
Now, do you remember the dip?
Oh, the Braunschweiger dip?
Yeah, Braunschweiger.
Well, actually, I gave 1/2 pound of, this recipe was 1/2 pound of Braunschweiger, and you just put some mayonnaise and onions, cut up onions in it, and then crackers, and that's all there is to that.
I was really surprised how good that was.
It's a wonderful flavor.
And yeah. It's goose.
Yeah, goose liver.
Goose liver.
Yeah, and it's interesting concept of how they do it, but it's kind of hard to find Brunswiger in the grocery store. I had to really look for it. In fact, I had to ask the girl where it was.
Now, is goose an expensive meat?
No. No, it's not at all. I can't remember. I can't remember how much it was. Yeah.
Do you have a favorite food?
Yeah, I love eggplant.
Oh, really?
Eggplant parmesan.
That's very good.
And I love blue cheese. I had a recipe at the Taste of Memphis the other day that was steak and blue cheese. It was called blue cheese steak. And it was a salad with cut up steak on it and blue cheese.
Mm.
Oh, it was delightful. Yeah.
You know, salad, I love salad.
I do too.
I always feel bad for people who don't like salad.
Yeah.
Because you can do so much.
And they're good for you.
They really are good for you.
Yeah. You know, the salad at Primrose is the high point of my day.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, do they have a certain, do you like a certain dressing? Is it blue cheese?
Yeah, no, it's sweet and sour.
Sweet and sour.
They don't have blue cheese at Primrose. I've been trying to get them to get it, but they don't.
You know what? I found out the other day that certain restaurants don't have Thousand Island dressing anymore.
Really?
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah.
I'm not a Thousand Island person, but
yeah.
I'd heard that. Go ahead, caller.
Jack.
Yeah?
Yeah, I just heard that. The way I make mine is I use I take a bronze water, I put the mayonnaise in, I take the green onions and cut them off at the tops, put that in, I chunk up cheese and put it in, and made it so we dipped out on the crackers. So, this is her recipe, but I just wanted to see what she puts up in a different night is.
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah.
What kind of cheese?
Yeah.
What kind of cheese do you use?
Jack.
Yeah, what kind of cheese do you use?
I take Swiss.
Swiss?
Swiss cheese.
Cheddar. Dark cheddar. And a pepper jack.
Okay.
And I buy it in the truck. I cut it down, put it in, and then dip it out with a spoon onto the cracker.
Hmm. Sounds good.
What was that last?
I put it in a spoon and serve it out.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that sounds very good.
Yeah.
All right. 57 minutes past the hour here with Mary Ellen Withrow. We've got the pastor spot coming up next and then Exchange Club at 12. Well, Mary Ellen, it's been fun again.
Oh, it's always fun, Scott. I just love to do this.
I can't believe that 3 hours always fly by
yeah,
so fast
right.
as they do. Now, in the remaining 3 minutes, at this point, is there anything you still want to do? Go back to Washington. We talked about that.
Yes, as soon as they open things back up, and hopefully that'll be soon. Yeah, I just want to stay active in Marion. I'm so impressed with just getting out and seeing people, and I like to do that. And it's I guess maybe the pandemic caused me to be like this. But
yeah. Do you have a, when you go out and speak and meet people, is there something you like to say to people? Is there a moral to your life at this point?
Oh, I just like to meet people. That's what I miss so much when I left office. I like to talk to people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you get around, what is it like during the pandemic?
Well, I tell you, I was taking care of Norman. I had to feed him all the meals, and there was the fear of not being able to see him when all of that was going on, and it was just really difficult. He was at Marion Point, and then they wouldn't let me come in again, and so I moved him to Primrose where I could see him, and And everything was just totally taking care of him, really. And
you know, somebody asked me one time, because they know you live at Primrose, but you don't live in, you have your own.
I'm in a villa.
You have a villa.
Yeah.
Which, no, I mean, do people come in there from Primrose, or is that just independent living?
It's pretty independent.
That's good.
Yeah.
But you get to go over for the meals.
Yes. You can decide if you want all three meals or you just want one. I just have one meal a day because the main meal is at noon, so that's the one I have.
Do you have, what do you go to when you want a snack? Do you have a favorite snack? We've been talking about food this
Well,
morning.
I love these... you know, the Ruffles, the potato chips with cheese, cheddar, and sour cream. Boy, do I like those.
That doesn't sound bad. Do you have a favorite drink?
Coffee.
Yeah. Black coffee,
yeah.
Perfect. Mary Ellen Withrow, one of my favorites. Always a pleasure to have her on, and we covered a lot of ground in the last 3 hours. The Pastor Spot with Pastor Steve Whitaker coming up next. Mary Ellen, always my pleasure.
My pleasure, too, Scott.
Thank you.
I love doing these interviews.
Thank you.
Yeah.
15 minutes, we'll be back.
FM, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For grandson of President Warren G. Harding, Jim Blessing,
and for the first time, I'm very happy to say, doing the first broadcast interview here.